4. Hey, by the way, kids, and we can say this because the photo's been online anyway. It's on your MySpace page, right? The bust thing?
Oh, no, it's
that's
fine.
That's the wrong way to put it. The foot thing?
Yeah.
This isn't sounding any better. If you go pick up this month's issue of Bust, which we have to say repeatedly is not a porn mag, it's like...
You had to tell me that many times.
Well, because I realized, have you seen that picture of you that's in Bust? No, it's like Jane or Sassy. It's kind of a, it's kind of like a Sassy for grown-up girls.
It's cool. I've seen a copy of it. It's all kind of crafty.
Yeah.
It's like about crafts and bands and...
And it's kind of a cool, it's like an alterna. It's like if... You know, it's like if you're an older kind of alternative chick. So, anyway, Laura reads it, and I know that, like, Aaron's fiancée, Jen, she reads it. It's, you know, it's a cool magazine for chicks. Anyway, Sarah Dillon is featured on page 104. If you look at page 104 of this month's Bust magazine, there is an ad for, what is the place called, Baby Doll Boutique?
Yes.
There's a clothing store, kind of vintage, retro, kind of cool clothing, Baby Doll Boutique. There's an ad for them on page 104. Those are Sarah's legs. And feet, right there.
Ooh.
So there you go. No, it's a cool picture, too.
No, it's fun because, yeah, I love doing it because...
Because, see, you're everywhere,
you don't get
but...
pay money, but you get free clothes.
Well, and plus, like, you're a section of your body is in a magazine ever, but nobody knows it's you, which is kind of cool.
Hmm.
That's kind of an undercover kind of a thing, right?
Okay.
It's like a secret little private thing that you have that we're not telling everybody. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Let's stop talking.
Let's move on with Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen, who... Thank you. New York City, I just realized that was becoming more and more muddled the more I talk. Anyway, go. Do you want to see her speed? Never mind. Let's drop it. Gary Baumgarten joining us now from New York City. Hi, Gary. How are you doing?
I am fine. Thank you.
You know, here's the thing. You just sound so relentlessly happy and professional all the time. And I mean that as a compliment. You just, you know, you are like the postal service. No matter sleet, nor rain, nor gloom, nor crap, nor whatever. You just, man, you are here and ready to rock.
You just never see me go postal, that's all.
does that happen sometimes?
No, well, occasionally, but very, very rarely.
You can tell us. I mean, you know, next time it happens, you know, there's a camera around. You're able to tape that. I think we'd like to see it.
If you know, I'll save it for my next and first trip to Portland, and I'll do it on your show live.
That's what I'm telling you, man. Now, see you live. We're talking. I don't know when this is going to happen, but I'm angling for this. It's one of these days. We're gonna do it then. It's going to be you and Roop and Lisa Goddard. Just have you all in Portland at once. I'm telling you, man, we'll make a big spectacle of it. You know, have you all walking on the terra firma of Portland, Oregon, which we're going to make it happen.
They just don't allow the three of us. You're not in a high-rise building with an elevator or anything, are you?
We're on the second floor. So.
Oh, okay, because they don't allow the three of us to ride an elevator at the same time because we're all so valuable. If the elevator should crash, they'd be in big trouble.
Well, clearly, because then McCarthy would have to be doing everything himself.
That's right, as if he doesn't already.
Yes.
You know?
he's at the nerve center of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Well, so the word of the week appears to be Chavez. So he's in Harlem today. We had these cuts from him earlier. And I think it was Charles Rangel who was going on. I think, is it Pataki, though, now? Is what he's demanding to get kicked out of the country, isn't he?
I didn't hear that. That's ahead of me on the news.
I think it
I hear in my own backyard.
Okay, well, and I apologize. I don't mean to be catching you anywhere.
No, that's okay.
I think, hold on. Tim Riley just handed. Where the hell did I put it? Oh, here we go. So, this is breaking news. I think we just got this sound then. So let me, I'll just play these. It's the first time I'm hearing them, too. It's from New York. New York Governor George Pataki is furious with Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez over his anti-American tirades past few days. Pataki says he wants Chavez off American soil now. I will just play a couple of these. This is the first cut. Where is this? This is Pataki Chavez 1. All right, so here we go.
Chavez should get out of the United States as quickly as possible. This man has no place being here. He purports to be attacking President Bush, but what he's really doing is attacking America. And I think that all of us, whether you support the president's policies or not, have to stand together and denounce this evil barbarian.
And then, let's see, this is, he is upset that leaders of other nations laughed at Chavez's speech when he insulted President Bush.
It's extremely disappointing that countries, many of whom would not have their freedom but for the sacrifice of American lives and lives of our allies and close friends, are there criticizing the United States and supporting somebody who really has no place addressing the U.N.
And then finally, it says, again, we've just gotten these, Governor George Pataki says he plans to boycott Citgo gas stations, which profit Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez.
I certainly have no intention of ever stopping at a Citgo station again. He can take his cheap oil and start doing something for the poor of Venezuela and stop using it as propaganda for his anti-democratic and anti-freedom political rhetoric.
Well, look, and here's the thing. We were talking to Lisa Goddard about this, and I don't think, and I'll be very clear, I have to make sure that I couch all of these statements very correctly so people know what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Venezuela is, I think, and I'm not an expert on Venezuela, but it's obviously a country that has its own problems, and as I said, anything that's based solely on an oil economy is clearly going to come with all kinds of corruption, and they've had a whole bunch of coups and uprisings and all of that stuff there. It is a little weird and scary and depressing and creepy and interesting and fascinating and unnerving and all of that stuff, though. How much resonance with so many people these comments that Chavez made yesterday seem to have had? Well, starting with people reckon at the UN, when like half the house is cheering or laughing or whatever it is when he's reaming on George W. Bush. It's a weird time, man. I can't imagine something like this happening under Reagan. I don't think anybody would have had the guts to do it.
Well, I mean, I think you pointed out yesterday, Khrushchev banging his shoe on the table at the United Nations, so it's not totally unprecedented. But you know what's really interesting about this is that Chavez may have done us all a big favor, because here you have Charlie Rangel, the Democratic congressman who represents Harlem, and you have Republican Governor George Pataki, who is a presidential wannabe, agreeing that Chavez had no business saying what he was saying here in the United States. You know? So it's kind of a unifying factor a little bit. It's like what Rangel says. You know, we can criticize the president. He's our president. But don't come into my district and criticize my president, is what he says.
Well, it's kind of, and there is a lot of that attitude in America, a lot of the no one hits my sister but me kind of a thing. Here's a question, as much as you have any kind of a crystal ball for this. Is this something the Republicans going to use this in the midterms? You know, some sort of Hugo Chavez from Venezuela doesn't like the president. You don't want to be like Hugo Chavez, do you? I mean, is it going to be one of those things that they try to use come this fall?
Oh, I think it'll, you know, there's been enough Democratic condemnation of this already that they probably won't. But, and in the overall scheme of things, the president of Iran is a much bigger threat than the president of Venezuela.
Oh, and that guy, the president of Iran, I mean, I said this last hour, I don't mean to sound alarmist or anything, and I'm certainly not a conspiracy theorist, at least certainly not on the level that a lot of people are. But I mean, it does seem like there is a weird sense out there, and it is only a sense, and maybe I'm up in the night, I don't know. But it seems like there's a weird sense out there of, if there is sort of a dividing line of, as Bush once said, you know, you're either with us or you're against us,
mm-hmm.
It does seem like there's a sense out there that a lot of people or countries or heads of state or whoever are it seems like there's a real sense that a lot of people are drifting away from it. A lot of people are drifting towards the other side. I mean, am I wrong about that? It seems
like... It's hard to tell. You know, the reality is that every year for 3 days or 4 days or whatever, these heads of state or heads of government come to the United States, the host country, where the United Nations happens to be located, and some of them use their little 15 minutes of fame, literally, because that's how much time they are allotted to be on the world stage and attack the United States. But then after they leave, the real work of the United Nations takes place. Not all of it is successful, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on with lower-level people from those same governments who are really working towards common good. And if they're not successful in doing that on the diplomatic side of the United Nations, which, of course, we see in stark reality the failings there, sometimes, thank goodness, they are successful on the humanitarian side, and that's the portion of the United Nations that gets very little coverage.
Well, that was going to be my other question. So I guess the question is, is he just trying to be a rabble rouser because he enjoys this for the sake of it, or is this to like shore up the stock with his own people back home, or is it?
Well, I think the United States suffers from a very serious public relations problem,
yeah.
And there are a lot of perceptions out there, and there are a lot of things that are being said by governments, and sometimes by religious leaders, and sometimes by schools, depending on in what country. that goes unchallenged in those communities. It's not like here where I could come on the Rick Emerson show and say something, you know, that somebody thinks is a boneheaded remark, and they're going to call up and say, you know, Baumgarten's full of it, and they could say it. You know, you're going to let them on to challenge what I say, or somebody who's an advocate maybe would be a better example. But we have open discourse. We challenge one another. We have a very vibrant news media. We have a very vibrant talk radio community in this country. But in these other countries where there are fewer freedoms, they just get spoon-fed stuff that goes unchallenged. And some, and, you know, there are these political leaders, heads of state, who are vying to position themselves to be the leader of the pack with this disenchantment and discontent with the United States. And I think both the presidents of Venezuela and the president of Iran are trying to do that. The difference is the power that the president of Venezuela holds in his hand is an economic power because he controls a lot of oil, of course, reserves.
Absolutely.
And but the real issue is that the president of Iran, you know, he's a very dangerous guy, and he's trying to weaponize his nuclear capabilities. So, So on the one hand, yeah, it may just be rhetoric, but on the other hand, it's real power.
This is like some horrific version of the new fall season on television starting. Everybody's here and everybody's crazy. All right, Gary Baumgarten, my friend, enjoy your New York day. We will talk to you very soon, brother.
Thank you.
There you go, Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen, live in New York City. All right, I'm sorry, I didn't mean... If you heard me, try not to laugh. You just missed the most fantastic thing right at the very tail. I wasn't listening to Gary, because I was. And you'll notice, by the way...
I kind of tuned out.
Well, you'll know... It's not that I tune out, but you'll notice that I pick and choose, like, who to sort of go back and forth with, because... And again, it's not that we don't like Gary. I love Gary Baumgarten.
Because
he's
I could have gone on all day.
But that's the thing, is you can tell that with one of those guys, it's like when I interviewed Ted Nugent that one time. Ted Nugent and I agree on almost nothing, but it's like the minute you start to go back and forth in any sort of disagreement with Ted Nugent, you just know that it's like you're going to write up the next 12 hours of your day. You're never going to get anything done. That's it. That's the whole show right there, because no, you're never going to agree. And Gary and I, it's not that we disagree on everything, but, you know, Gary, there's a lot of that. Again, it's like that no one hits my sister but me thing, and I think a lot of that's a very New York thing. So Gary's one of those guys that has a lot of latitude, I think, to come on the show and just go, Rick, let me tell you a few things. Because I get the feeling he doesn't get to do that in a lot of other places. Any of those guys, really. I get the feeling those CNN guys have to be so buttoned up everywhere that Gary comes on here. And
I don't think you could contain Gary.
No. I think he'd punch you. I think it's, shut up!
Sounds like it's something that he does over and over again.
I think we are the steam release valve for a lot of those guys. Okay, you have to... It looks,
I'm sorry.
You know exactly what that looks like, too.
No, I don't. Oh.
Yeah.
That's my karma.
Looks like somebody's...
I just spilled coffee on my shirt.
But see, yeah. I'm just saying, it looks a whole lot... Yeah. Here's the thing. So again, it's not that I wasn't listening to Gary. I really was. It's just that right at the very tail end. Here's the thing about you spilling coffee on yourself just now. Is it wasn't like a... Like you sometimes you'll like a cough, or like I've actually, you know, the horrible thing, like sneeze or something ridiculous while you're drinking, or like as my mom would say, it goes down the wrong pipe and you gotta go, you know, and it's sort of whatever. Sarah has this huge Starbucks mug. It's like not a cup, but I mean like a ceramic mug. She picks it up, and the best thing is, it's like normally, like a normal person when they go to drink, you take it up, you put the edge of the cup inside your mouth, you tilt it back. Sarah took the ceramic mug, moved it towards her mouth, and then just didn't put it all the way there. It was like half an inch away from your mouth, and then you just tilted it as though to drink. But it really wasn't making contact with your mouth. It was sort of like a...
I know.
It was like a drawbridge that was about 3 feet too short, and then it just poured right onto your shirt. And, of course, now it just looks like baby... It looks like baby's been getting a feeding. That's what it looks like.
You know,
like.
I was talking to a lot of people last night about my newfound knowledge of breastfeeding yesterday.
Yes.
And not a lot of women knew that it comes out from everywhere.
See, I had some women claim that that's not true. They said that woman had a defective boob.
Really?
Well, this... here we go again.
Oh, yeah, let's not get into
No, I have to, because now I have to read this email that I got. We talked a lot about breastfeeding yesterday. And this woman called up, and she said... You know, how do I put this? She said, and again, we're speaking now medically and scientifically, because this is an issue that affects many people in a sociological sense.
And confuses others.
And really, attention, Lacey Turner, this is part of our public service commitment here on AM 970, Solid State Radio. We are trying to help the public. Because many women and men most of whom, statistically speaking, will have children at some point in their life. They were confused about breastfeeding. And so Sarah had said, I don't know where the holes come from. And so a woman called up, and the woman said, you know, that when a baby is receiving liquid sustenance from its mother, that it does not, the milk does not just emanate from the very, you know, the tip, the middle, whatever it is, you know, the most prominent part.
Okay.
She said that it was sort of like a, from the surrounding areas as well. And I said,
the shower head.
Exactly. Oh, and I said, as though the breast were a colander, but shower head, yes, sure. And so I immediately got a whole bunch of other women go, she needs to go to a doctor because that's not supposed to be the case. And so they wondered whether something might, in fact, be wrong with her. But then when I got this, this is Rick, this email says, what the F happened to Carson Daly? No, that's wrong. Rick, you guys cringe and run under the table when discussing breast milk. This is the one thing humans are supposed to drink to grow and be healthy children. But all of you go to the fridge and pull out milk from cattle udders and don't think twice. You pour it all over your cereal, for God's sake. You fill your coffee drink with it. What gives? What's the difference? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I'm not going to dwell on it. Because if we dwell on it, all we're going to do is engender more phone calls about it.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be more. The point, though, is that Sarah, right now at this very moment, has a wet shirt in exactly the right. It looks like she needs one of those pads that you put over there to stop the leaking. Let's see. Let's talk to John. John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
John, what's up, brother?
Futurama.
Yes.
Back on the air.
Yes.
2008.
That's what I
know,
heard.
I heard that, too. I read that.
Now, is it as a series or is a series of made-for-TV movies? Because I've heard both.
I'm not sure. 13 episodes on Comedy Central.
Fantastic. That's so, and you know what it is? As much as I'm not really a Family Guy fan, I know that engenders confusion. Maybe I'm just really not. But the thing about that is, you got to hand it to Family Guy. Family Guy's ratings in reruns, because they got canceled, and then they got such strong ratings as reruns, and then their DVD sales were enough to show that if you brought back a canceled series, it could be popular again. And so that's
have legs, as it were.
Yeah, exactly. And so we really
Firefly.
Have Family Guy to thank for Futurama coming back. So when is that? 2008.
2008, they said. Yeah.
Fantastic. And that's on that's on Comedy Central or on Fox?
Comedy Central.
God love them.
Cool.
Is Comedy Central? They're owned by Viacom, aren't they?
I believe so. I know they're owned by the same company as MTV and VH1.
God bless. And us, sort of, in a weird kind of way, right?
Now, aren't you guys all interconnected?
Eh, we're all owned by everybody. I don't know. Yeah. But no, because for the longest time, if you looked at my email...
Yeah, but that's after they changed from Viacom to CBS.
Because I had to be really careful for the first few months we were here, because I knew that if I typed the wrong name, like, I could inadvertently email everybody at VH1 about something, like, by accident. All right, thank you, John.
You bet.
Right, there you go. That's John. Let's get one more, and then we'll take a break here. Casey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
Hello there.
Going back to the breast milk comment, whatever. Attention Alpenrose Dairy.
Yes, seriously. It's just one of those, okay, well, let's move on.
Anyway, I was going to say, I was in Amsterdam in 2004.
Yeah.
Right before the second round of elections, and it was really interesting to be around family. I was at a family reunion, and it was really interesting to have discussions with people in the Netherlands and Belgium, and basically it was like, oh, you're from America, you know, your president is a boob, essentially. Why are so many people, like, in favor of this guy? And, like, everyone in Europe is, like, convinced that this guy is a complete Nimrod.
I don't think that's just Europe. I think that's everywhere that's not the middle of the country.
Pretty much, but it was really interesting to hear, and, you know, having a discussion with my parents and these other family members, and hearing them talk, it's like, God, they know more about crap than what we do.
Well, yeah.
You know, we're all become, you know, the media, you know, not to criticize, but I mean, for the most part, the media here has really, like, desensitized us to a lot of what's going on and what's real and what's factual.
Well, here's the really embarrassing thing about this, and it doesn't look like it's just George W. Bush. Here's the thing. I remember when Bush was running, well, it's like when Bush and Gore were running against each other in 2000, and there was this, there's 290 million people in this country. Really, the idea that the rest of the world would look at us and, like, these two guys are the best we can possibly do. Like, that's it, man. Out of 290 million people, those are the two most qualified. Do you realize this? Here's a question. Let me do this. Do you realize, and I'm going back, let's see, 76, something like that. Do you realize that in every election for the last 26 years, there has been either a Bush or a Dole somewhere on the ballot? I mean, yeah. Really? Is that it? That's it. That's the very cream of the car price right
Clinton.
There. Yeah, that's it.
Bush or Clinton. Yeah.
So, all right.
It's scary, yet you know, only in America.
Yeah.
What's that movie that just came out that's like that? It's like the presidential election is decided sort of like an American Idol kind of contest or whatever. I mean, that's eventually what it's going to come down to. It's going to be like reality TV meets how you get elected.
Seriously. Well, at least that'd be more honest. All right, there you go. That's Casey. Thank you, sir. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Coming up 2 o'clock hour, we will update the Encyclopedia Emersonia. Oh, we'll do these right here. We'll do these Dante's cuts as well. Or these notes that I made myself last night. What's this? Where is Facial Guy? I don't know. There's that guy, the Mary Kay guy.
Is he coming in?
No, but somebody had asked, because didn't he say he was going to come in at some point and do, like, give us all a scrubbing? All right, somebody's asking if that's still going to happen. I don't know. We'll talk to Scotty J about it. You stay there. We'll talk to Scotty J anyway, because he doesn't want to talk to anybody today, because he's massively hungover. So we'll bring him in and talk to him endlessly. You stay there. So Rick Emerson, Joe, here's the drive-by truckers. Don't go anywhere. I got lots of notes about that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. We got more comments this week. What would you imagine that the two things we've discussed this week that have gotten the most emails? Not Hugo Chavez.
Breast milk.
One, that's one. The other one, it's not drugs either. That's always my second choice. It's not that. It's the meat van. The mysterious van full of meat that a guy comes around. Is this just like a thing that doesn't happen in Southeast?
Does it happen in St. John's?
Tim?
I don't know. I've been in St. John's in quite some time.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Does it happen where you live?
Yes. Is there meat where you are?
I've never looked for meat where I am.
Oh, I wish I'd been prepared with some sort of a sounder. Oh, no, it's too late. No, I have nothing. All right. It's 503-733-2-9... Wait, hold on. And
once it comes out of my mouth, it's too hard to put it back in. Celebrating with deli sandwiches.
That doesn't make any sense. Rick, my aunt passed away, and after the service, I attended a family gathering. Walking out of the house in black with my family, a guy pulls up in a van and yells, "Who wants meat?" "Please don't say my name. I had to call in sick to attend. Love the show." By the way, he was Southeast? This jackass was at 72nd and Southeast Taylor. Watch your meat, this person says. All right, there you go. Good advice indeed. Good advice indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm changing the out cue. The out cue will now just be his name. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the real reason you're here today. It's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, kids posting fights on their MySpace pages has got the attention of Warren, Michigan's Mayor Mike Steenberg. He said the kids have formed a fight club and videotape fights in city parks and post them on the Internet. He says the kids even have a name for their club, the South Warren Knockouts. His honor says the fights are dangerous and may leave the city liable if somebody is seriously hurt. The mayor is proposing an ordinance that would ban fighting in city parks with fines of up to $1,000. Well, Burger King hasn't been picked on for quite some time, and it's about time they do.
Okay.
They're BK Stackers, which include a quad stacker option with 4 slabs of beef, 4 slices of cheese, and up to 8 slices of bacon smothered in a creamy sauce.
It contains 1,000 calories and a whopping 68 grams of fat, including 30 grams of saturated fat. That's about half the calories and 1.5 times the saturated fat the average adult could consume an entire day. Burger King says it's simply giving the public what they want. We're taking meat lovers seriously by leaving up, well, that useless produce and vegetables we often put on sandwiches.
It is true. Now, I have to admit this. It is true that sometimes if I get a product like that, I'll just pick the vegetables off and throw them away. I do. And now, in my own defense, it's like there's this convenience store that's down here in the basement of the coin building. And on a day like today, I forgot my lunch at home. I'm so retarded because I made the lunch and then I put it in the fridge and I forgot about it. And I get here and I realize, nope, I have no lunch. And there's, you know, and I eat lunch. My lunch, I eat my lunch at like 9:30. That's when my lunch meal happens. And there's just not a lot that's open that's serving lunch at that time. And, you know, and everybody's just going to Starbucks. And so I will go to this convenience store, and he sells these sandwiches that are laden with iceberg lettuce. And the problem is iceberg lettuce has nothing. There are no nutrients in that of any kind. Iceberg, you might as well just eat air. Or sand. There's nothing.
You think you're getting something healthy.
That's the thing about iceberg lettuce. That's why they use it, because it's cheap, and it costs them nothing to... What's that a picture of?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to distract you.
What is Aaron putting into his mouth? It's shaped like a, you know, thing.
I believe it is.
Okay, I don't want to know. Anyway, but they use iceberg lettuce, which has no nutrients or calories. So it's basically just they're taking up space on the sandwich where they could put extra meat. So I'll just open the sandwich and throw the iceberg lettuce away.
Are you going to eat this meat-laden thing?
What?
Are you going to eat this?
This meat-laden thing?
Shut up. Are you going to eat that sandwich?
I talked over you when you said I was trying to get a clean copy. Are you going to eat this meat-laden thing? Well, no, because... But that has nothing to do with...
You totally are going
to
try it.
It doesn't even... What is it again? What's it made of?
What's it made of?
Oh, you've already thrown the story away.
I thought we were done with it.
It's four slabs.
What's it called?
Something, and
it is a BK quadro something. A BK quad stacker.
A stacker is a drug, incidentally.
Four slabs of beef, four slices of cheese, up to eight slices of bacon, smothered in a creamy sauce.
Okay,
how can you even fit that in your mouth?
You're seeing now you're
Stop.
Trying.
No. No. It's just, that's too big.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait.
I'm going to stop talking. Wait. I'm stopping. I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Yeah.
What? I'd rather be a whore than a patty cake.
Okay, no. But let's all kidding aside. I don't know how you could open your mouth big enough to get it in. It's four slabs, a slab.
It's probably a patty, cheese, then two pieces of bacon, then patty, cheese, two pieces of bacon. That's huge.
No, but there's four patties.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to do it two more times.
Oh, I see. So repeat.
And four slices of bacon.
Go to ten.
Times two.
Here's the thing about that, though. You know what turns me off of this whole thing? It's not the slabs of meat. It's not the eight pieces of bacon. It's the what is it? Smothered in a creamy sauce.
Yes.
That's the part that... because I don't trust fast food sauces, typically. Because that's... because you never know when some guy in the back is, you know, tackle out. And B, it's all... that sauce, you know, I'm convinced that sauce is where all of the... all the stuff that is bad for you, that's where it all comes from. It's all... because that's all just mayonnaise. That's all it is. It's just mayonnaise and ketchup. I don't care what they claim it is. It's really just mayonnaise and ketchup. God, and a slab. Just a slab of something doesn't sound good. I can't think of anything that sounds good in a slab. You know, here's what it is. There's no good slab of anything. There's no good clump of anything. I don't care what anything that is like a clump of... I don't care what it is. What's this? It's a clump of hot, nude lesbians. No, it doesn't work. A clump of anything is bad. And I'm with you that I don't even know how you could eat it. That's a novelty food, is what it is. It's like that Tim Riley that they sold at Claudia's for a while. Yeah, that same thing. You couldn't even get your mouth open enough to put it in. Here we go. There's Brittany, you know, you can get a subscription to the meat truck?
That's right. Yeah, my mom did for a while.
And I don't understand.
Well, she got a pack and a box of frozen different cuts of meat, like, every month, delivered to her door from the meat truck.
Now, it's just like... I wonder if we're talking about the same meat truck.
Like joining a meat club.
The meat of the month club.
Yeah, it's the same deal. The only thing is that the guy, the one that you heard about, had a different sales pitch. Yeah.
Is there a meat club for men and a separate one for women?
A meat club for men.
I mean, the guy that went to the door, that other guy, and said, you know, well, we just happen to have this meat. That's the reason to make him think it's a good deal. That's all.
Okay. Well, yes. No, yes, that's true, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I know a guy who used to sell pianos door-to-door back in the 70s.
Okay, now you're just being silly.
No, 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 I'm serious. He drove into a neighborhood with a truck full of pianos, a semi-truck, and he'd go door-to-door and ask the women if their husband had ever promised them a piano, and at this time, 3 out of 4 said yes. And then he'd say, well, we just, you know, there was financing problems, we got these back, and my boss really wants to get rid of them, and I'll make you a fantastic deal. But the thing is, they were all brand-new pianos. He just had to have a reason for them to believe it was a really good deal, so they'd buy it right away.
Excellent. All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
There you go. I'm sorry. I was never able to get past the is there a meat club for men. Here's Tim Riley.
The Britney watch.
So ludicrous. Think I did it again. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Britney Spears will rap on her next album.
Oh, no.
Her producer, J.R. Rotten, Rodham, has revealed her hip-hop plans and says the Mum of Two's fifth LP is going to be crazy, and it'll take the toxic singer to the next level. He reveals, I can tell you there's some dance stuff, there's some slow, more introspective stuff, like she introspects, and some club tracks. She even raps a bit.
Oh.
Rap.
Okay, do you want to lay odds right now whether Kevin Federline will perform on the record?
You know that he will.
You know, and you know, and you know, not only will Kevin Federline appear on the record, but you know he will appear sort of as himself, by which I mean rapping about. Here's what Kevin Federline will rap about on Britney's album. I'm guaranteeing freaking to you about her, the baby, home life, and then he will have to mention something about paparazzi getting up out of his face. He'll have to throw down some stupid gauntlet about the press. I was telling this about this for the show, that, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but I've heard that new Fergie album, and it was just...
You've been talking about this album for, like, months.
Because, here's the thing, I'm done being I'm through with shame. I love that single, and I know I'm not supposed to, or maybe I am supposed to, because that's designed to be liked, but it's also designed to be liked by, like, 14-year-old girls. So it is dumb that I like it, but that London Bridge song that Fergie has, that I like a lot. It's a great song.
That sounds childish.
It's the most asinine piece of music. I mean, it's just. I mean, you know the song. I have it somewhere. I have it around here somewhere. I could play it. It's
It sounds exactly like Gwen Stefani.
Maybe. See, and the thing is, like, her presence on it is almost incidental. It's the music, it's the production, and whoever really wrote the song, because clearly she has no hand in writing that. I mean, she's on it, but it could be anybody. Like, you could remove her voice and make it be anybody. It's the song itself is really good. I like the song a lot. You can never listen to it when anybody's around, though, because it's such an embarrassing piece of music. It's like that My Humps song, which I hated, but it's like, presume, like, if you were a guy who did like that, whatever, My Lady Bumps, Humps, whatever, that song, the horrible thing that came out, you could never listen to that in the presence of another person. You could never admit that you liked that. And so it is with that London Bridge. But I heard the rest of the album. God, it's just terrible to no one's surprise. Just awful. The only other decent song on that Fergie record is this song called, God, I don't remember what it's called now. It's called blah, 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 blah. But it's a whole song where she's bitching about bloggers. She's talking about bloggers on the... How empty is your life when you have to record a song on your record bitching about people who run blogs?
Yeah, making fun of them and saying how they're sitting in front of the computer. It's like, okay, they are.
All right, I get it. Go
you're
wet yourself.
You're releasing an album. Yeah, seriously.
That's really what that comes down to is. Hey, quit posting pictures of me where I am wetting my pants. That's what that's all about. Are we in the Britney watch still?
Yes.
All right.
Well, when she gets behind the microphone, there's a magic that comes out.
Yes. Did you really read that?
I can't believe I said that. That's the quote from the PR people.
That's a magic that comes out.
And the music takes us to the next level.
Uh-huh. It's sort of like a coagulated sort of gooey magic.
It's like passing an orphanage on the way to church on a Sunday. The toxic singer delivered her second child at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center just before 2 a.m. Tuesday. It is a 6-pound, 11-ounce child named Sutton Pierce, Federline.
All right. Can we be done with that?
I guess so.
There's your Britney one.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
You see, my problem is this. I'm not that innocent.
greatest genius. Whatever we may say about Scotty J, that is a piece of brilliance. That is, it's art. Scotty's tapping the screen. I got to tell you the pitch the meat man gave me. Okay. Let's see. This is Tim. Tim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, Rick. Hey, spotlight on your quick Fergie segment there. On the word asinine, kudos there because not only is there an ass in it, but there's nine of them. Hello, Ethan. And a quick thing about the BK Stacker, it's not as advertised, so it's being as big as it is. If you can kind of remember way back, I don't know, early to mid-90s when you would see a burger on TV and it was this huge thing, and then when you get it, you know, typically it's
well,
you know,
they,
a big example.
They film like a midget
double
holding
Whopper,
it, yeah.
The double Whopper is a lot bigger than the BK Stacker, so there you
but
go.
But it's four slabs.
Well, yeah, but it's no. Seriously, I've had one within the last week, and I know what you're thinking, but it's not. It's
really?
Not. It's about the size of a CD, and in thickness or breadth or girth or whatever you want to say, it's about I don't know 2.5-3 inches.
All right, so let's back up here. You went into the Burger King. You ordered a BK Stacker.
Incorrect. I drove through.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry, go ahead.
So you ordered the BK Stacker. They gave it to you. Now,
it opened up the back of the hatchback.
Yes. Now, was it good?
Yeah. No, it was good. And it was, like you said earlier about picking the vegetables and stuff up, I'm a big John Wayne style, and I like my burger sans vegetables. And yeah, it is. It's great.
So you just wanted a bowl of meat, basically.
More or less, yes.
Okay. All right, but it was good.
It was good, but it's not as big as, I mean, as you would think, as they put it into verbiage.
It's not like that Hardee's burger, because Hardee's is selling that hamburger, right? And we don't have any Hardee's around here. But Hardee's is selling that burger that's like, I don't know, it's like 2,400 calories or some huge thing.
I have the figures.
Really?
Let's see. The Hardee's Monster Thick Burger has 1,420 calories.
Jesus.
And 107 grams of fat.
That's for Midwesterners.
In terms that locals would understand, a common, like, Stamich's burger would far outweigh a beef.
Oh, really? Because, okay, yeah. Now, see, that's one of the gold standards I use.
Sure.
All right, excellent. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, thank
you. I'm huge!
Thank you. All right, that's the guy. Let's see, John, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, Rick, I used to, I applied for a job as a meat salesman. If this is the same thing they're talking about, this was just... This is frozen meat.
No, but
and they have a refrigerated truck.
I think there may be multiple meat vans driving around the city because...
No, the place is up on Northeast Marks. There it was, and it's just that they have a big meat locker, and they have guys that go around in either their pickup truck with insulated units, or they have actually refrigerated trucks. And they just go up to your door, and they try to sell you a package deal for this flash frozen... plastic-coated meat, you know, with no fat on it at all, and it's fairly disgusting, and I wouldn't buy it. And I drove around with the guy for about 6 hours and then said, you know, why don't you just, like, take me home,
There's nothing... Can I just tell you this? Here's what we've learned. There's no phrase involving the word meat that doesn't end up being hilarious. Plastic-covered meat. Is the meat man here? Is there a meat club for men? I applied for a job as a meat man once.
Yeah, I want to meet you. Oh, man.
All right. Okay, that's...
Hey, wait a minute, Rick. I got a question for you.
Yes, sir. What?
If you need a vacation, I have... my girlfriend has a couple of...
Timeshares.
Timeshares off of Aruba.
I was just... Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're right next to 12 miles from Venezuela. You can go over...
What? Hello? Hello, John? Oh, that's stupid. All right, Jim Riley.
Subway's 12-inch double meat classic tuna sub packs 1,580 calories and 110 grams of fat. So if you're eating Subway, it's not necessarily healthy.
110 grams of fat.
Denny's Extreme Grand Slam Breakfast has 1,270 calories, 77 grams of fat, and Blimpie's BLT has 1,180 calories,
that's a place
64
I,
grams of fat.
That's a place I can't eat just because of the name. I can't eat in a place called Blimpie's. Yeah, in any way, I can't do it. It's just something I can't
Maybe they need, like, Heidi Klum as a spokesperson to bring people into Blimpie's.
I just can't bring myself to do it. All right, let's do one more. Right. And then we have a Rupert, too. Is that, okay, and I got to read these Dante's notes. And then we got to do the Encyclopedia Emersonia. Here's one more from Tim Riley.
Oh, the Office has its season premiere tonight.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And it seems that creative differences over a controversial crucifixion scene of Madonna's concert tour could spell the end of NBC's long-planned special for a concert. You can believe that. This is a lie. NBC's programming officials are expected to ask Madonna's camp to cut the scene in which she's hung from a cross wearing a clown. I'm sorry, crown of thorns.
Wearing a clown of thorns.
While singing Live to Tell.
Well, it doesn't even make any sense. Look, Madonna's she's a pro at this, at manipulating the press and so forth. Here we are, just mindlessly repeating the story, generating publicity for her. But I think it's at the point where I think we who are either in the media or Madonna fans or both are able to sort of very clearly see the hands at work in most of her stories at this point.
They're waiting to hear back from Madonna's camp. Is this like a group of tents in the forest?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't even... What I don't understand is why she would be hung from a cross during Live to Tell. That doesn't even make any... Like, why would it be during that song? That's like being hung from a cross during, like, True Blue or something. It's just, it doesn't make...
Well, because it's a slower song, it takes longer to raise the cross.
it takes time to put her up there in the cherry picker. So, yeah, that just doesn't make any sense at all. So, anyway, and so she's going to be on NBC? Okay,
yeah.
So there you go, NBC and Madonna. We've given you your requisite goddamn publicity for that. All right. Let's take one final call because this is Dan. Now, Dan from New Zealand, who, of course, is here, but you are moving back to New Zealand, right?
Yeah, I'm moving back on the 10th.
So we talked to you last night. You were Dante's. And so why is it you're going back to New Zealand again? What have they got that we don't have?
Well, we have a prime minister, for one.
Okay. Well, that's a fair point. I guess they have a different leader. Yeah. I can't understand. Perhaps, how long have you been here in this country?
About 2 years.
And so, okay, so you have never known, you have never lived in an America under anybody but George W. Bush.
Exactly.
It's not really like this all the time, I swear to God. Usually this country's, usually all of these problems aren't happening. So, you should come back like maybe...
I'll come back in like 10 years.
Now come back like early 2009. I think we might have things worked out around here. So, all right? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm the speaker of meat. Have you seen the In-N-Out 100 times 100 burger?
No, I did, because at In-N-Out they sell the double-double.
Yeah.
And so, this was the 100-100.
Guys went in on...
Yeah, no, that's I love that place, and they did that as like kind of a publicity thing. And so I'm a big fan of those guys and anything they do.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, well, travel safe. If we don't talk to you again, travel safe, enjoy New Zealand. I understand that on the internet you can listen to this program.
Yes.
All right, thank you, sir. Enjoy New Zealand.
I will.
There you go, my brother. All right, Daniel from New Zealand. All right, take a break. We'll come back. Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Right here, I have stuff from Dante's last night. We will do the encyclopedia. Emersonia, Lycus at 3:06. Don and Mike at 7. John and Jeff at 11 p.m. More of your phone calls. All of that around the corner. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 570. Solid State Radio.